Isaiah chapter 42, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you do speak to us and you encourage us. And we thank you, Lord, for the just enjoying your presence this morning. And Father, we pray, Lord, now that you would speak again to us. Pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, and that we would hear your voice and that we would be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see this, one of these wonderful prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus that we find in the Old Testament. Wonderful words, just declaring the Messiah that would come. And we see here in these words just the meekness and the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. It says he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. We see the meekness and the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. But the words that I really want us to fix our hearts on and focus on this morning, found in verse 3, where it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And here we see just the depths of the mercy of the Lord Jesus, the depths of his loving kindness, the depths of his goodness. And it speaks here of a bruised reed. Shall he not? It's echoing. A bruised reed shall he? Okay. "A bruised reed shall he not break?" And we think of that bruised reed, and we think of all the. It's a picture of us being through circumstances, through situations, being crushed. Maybe it's the disappointments of life. Maybe it's the things that have caused us to be discouraged. Maybe it's the things that have come into us, and it's overwhelmed us, and because of it, we've lost something of that zeal. We've lost something of that strength that we once had. Now we feel like that bruised reed. We once had all that, as it were, that life and vigor, and now, because of all the things that have happened, we feel so discouraged. It says earlier in Isaiah, it speaks in Isaiah 36, and it speaks of how Israel were trusting in Egypt, and it talks there of the staff or the reed as being bruised, and saying that that they were trusting in a bruised reed. They were trusting in something that couldn't be trusted, something that was really weak. And that's exactly the picture we may feel of ourselves, of just a weakness, of just we've no longer got that strength and life and vitality and vigor that we once had. We just feel overwhelmed by circumstances, and we can echo this, and we can say, yes, I feel like a bruised reed. All that the things that have happened, maybe things in recent times that have come upon your heart and upon your spirit and upon your soul, that have caused you to be discouraged and caused you to be weary, and so you feel almost like feel as if you are crushed. And when it speaks of this bruised reed, this word bruised is also crushed. It's the same, that's the meaning of it. It's something that is crushed. And when you think of a crushed reed or a bruised reed, it's in the natural, you'd say it's useless. You say it should be forsaken. It's no longer useful. And yet, the Lord Jesus says, it speaks of the Lord Jesus, a bruised reed shall he not break. You see, he doesn't take that which is crushed, that which is discouraged, that which is overwhelmed, that which has just lost all that hope and life and vitality. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break. Why? Because that very bruised reed he wants to restore. And the wonderful thing is this. It speaks, as I mentioned before, how it speaks of the children of Israel. They were trusting in this bruised reed, which were Egypt. And they were trusting in it. But you see, the Lord Jesus, the reason why he won't break the bruised reed and why he will restore that bruised reed is because he's using us. That bruised reed, he's going to restore because he wants to. You are the bruised reed that he wants to restore because he wants to use you and me. That reed in his hand, he wants to use for the extension of his kingdom, for his glory, for the praises of his name. And so that's why he doesn't discard it. That's why he doesn't say, "Oh, there is a crushed reed. There's a reed that is discouraged, and therefore, how can I use that reed anymore? And I'll just break it." No, he says, "No, I see your discouragement, and I see your despair, and I see your hopelessness. But I'm not the one that breaks it. I'm the one that restores it, and I'm the one that will once again use that reed in my hand." And he takes that which seems as if is without hope, and he takes that reed once again in his hand, and he brings restoration, and he uses that reed that is in his hands. And we see the proof of how the Lord brings that restoration, because these words in Isaiah 42 are echoed in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. It says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." Here it says judgment unto truth, but it's now, as it were, explaining this verse and saying, "Until he send forth judgment unto victory." And what he's saying is this: the true things of God, that's his judgment, his righteousness, his holiness, all of these things, all the character of God, he's going to take those and he's going to bring them through to victory in your life and through you. So he's going to restore the things that maybe have been lost, Maybe things, because of the discouragement and because of the challenges of life and because of all those things, he's going to restore the things that have been lost. He's going to restore those things in your heart, and he's going to bring you through to victory. So whereas once you were that crushed reed, once you were that reed that someone else would look on and say, where is the strength in that person? And he says, but I'm not going to break it. I'm going to bring it through to victory so that that reed in my hand can be useful and can be full of victory and full of restoration and full of the power of God. And so that's what the Lord wants. And this is the mercy of God. This is the love of God. This is the goodness of God. This is the grace of God. This is the very proof of the mercy of God. And we ask ourselves, where is the mercy of God? What's the demonstration of the mercy of God? It's that he takes us who are crushed, who are discouraged, and he restores us, and he brings us through to that place where we're walking in victory, because that's his ultimate end, and his aim and his ultimate goal is that he uses us to see that judgment fill the earth, the gospel, the holiness of God, the good things of God filling the whole earth. And the ones he uses are bruised reeds. That's who he uses, those who have been discouraged. And come on in a moment to the smoking flax. But we read our English translations and we miss something here, something rather wonderful. In verse 4 it says, speaking still of the Lord Jesus, it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now where it says discouraged, it's the same word as bruised. Now it's saying the Lord will not be discouraged. The Lord Jesus, in his ministry, would not be discouraged. He wouldn't be bruised. He wouldn't be bruised in that sense. We'll see another sense in which he was. But in that sense, he did not fail. And why? He had the victory so that even though we were bruised, he could bring us through to a place of victory. So it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. He won't be discouraged so that we can be encouraged. So he lived in hope, with the fullness of hope and life, so that even though we were bruised, we could then have his life and his victory. And it was all through the Lord Jesus. So it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged, so that you don't have to fail, and so you don't have to be discouraged. And so the Lord Jesus, he does what we failed to do. He did what we couldn't do, so that now that life and victory and hope and all of that is now flooding in your heart, so that now you become where once you were a crushed reed or a crushed staff or discouraged and weary with life and just exhausted with the things of this life, maybe even exhausted and discouraged even in ministry, and so that there's that you feel like a crushed reed. And he says, but I wasn't crushed, so that you could have that life in you. And then he goes on, and it says, the smoking flax shall he not quench. And again, here we see something of just the where we could maybe perhaps lose something in our translations, because where it says the smoking flax, he shall not quench, it's the same it's the same word where it's saying fail. That smoking flax is the same word as the where it says he shall not fail. And so he's not going to fail. He's not going to fail. Even though we're like that smoking flax, and you see the lamp, and you see that flax, and it's just that wick, and you see that it's smoking, and you think, well, the answer is just to put it out. It's failed. And perhaps sometimes we look at our own lives and we think, well, I've failed. I've had these opportunities and I've failed the Lord. I look at my life and I see things in my own life, and I see the failures of my own life, the things where perhaps I'm aware of my own my own life disappointing the Lord, and where I should have done things and I have, where I failed to do those things, where there are things that I've done and I know that I shouldn't have done those, and again and again maybe I've failed. But it says the Lord, he did not fail. He shall not fail, and he did not fail. Why? So that we could be brought into that place of victory. And it says the smoking flax, that smoking wick, he shall not quench, he shall not put it out, because the Lord is the restorer of our souls. And even when we've failed, and even when we've disappointed the Lord, and when we've done that which we shouldn't have done, and we look back and we maybe just become overwhelmed and even depressed at our own failings, he says, yes, I see the smoking flax, but what I can do is something extraordinary. I can take that smoking flax and I can cause it to come alive again and be a full flame, that it provides light, and so that it provides light to the people that you're around. Yes, maybe you've been overwhelmed. Maybe you've been in a place where you as it were feel like that smoking flax. But the Lord says, I failed not so that you don't have to fail. I failed not so that I can restore you, and therefore you can therefore be that light in a dark place, so that you can be a light to this generation, that you can be a light in your workplace, that you can be that light. And this is the mercy of God. The mercy of God says that the Lord does not discard. The Lord, when we look at ourselves and we become discouraged, and when we look at our lives and we say, I'm just a crushed reed, when we look at ourselves and we say, I'm just this smoking flax, I'm just a smoking wick, that's all I am, and really I deserve to be broken, I deserve to be quenched, I deserve to be put out, he says, no, because I'm the one that restores. I'm the one that takes that reed in my hand. I'm the one that, as it were, brings to life that flame again, and so that you can be that light in a dark place. And so, when we consider again the verse in Matthew 12 and verse 20. It says, until he send forth judgment unto victory. And what's wonderful here, he says, he's effectively saying, I will not break you, and I will not put you out until I have brought you to that place of victory. I will not do it. So he's saying, basically, I'm never going to break you. I'm never going to put you out until I've brought you to the victory. It's that confidence, because I'm going to keep showing my mercy. I'm going to keep showing my loving kindness. I'm going to keep showing my grace, if we put it in these terms, until I bring you through to victory. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep showing my mercy. I'm going to keep working in you through my life, the life that I have. And because of my victory, because I failed not, because I wasn't discouraged, because Jesus won the victory. That's what he's saying, because he won the victory. Therefore, he's in a position to be merciful to you, and because he won the victory, therefore, he will keep working in you till he brings you to that place of victory. Till you are in that place where you're just full of the life of Christ, full of the power of Christ. And so you're just... You're just that staff that is full of his strength, and you're being just used by him, and so you're shining gloriously, and his life is filling the lives of people. And that's why we in verse 10 of Isaiah 42, it says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. That's why we should have a song in our hearts. That's why we should have a new song, because it's a song of the mercy and goodness of the Lord, the mercy of God that says he didn't despise me, he didn't reject me, he didn't cast me away, but no, he is working out his purposes in you, and he will bring you through to the full victory, and you don't need to be discouraged. Why? Because your hope is in the mercy of the Lord. That's where your hope is, and that's where your confidence is. And then finally, if you want to see the depth of the mercy of the Lord, and it says, a bruised reed shall he not break. And then we see how at the cross he was bruised for us. So he comes alongside and he says, right, I see that you've been bruised. I see that you're crushed. I see, because of all your failings and all that sin and everything else, he says, now I'll be bruised in your place, so that I can bring you to that place where you are restored, where you have my life, where you are now a staff in my hand that I can use. And here's another wonderful thing. And in some ways it's a deep thing, but it's also, and I'm also careful in how I say it, but it says again in that passage where I referred to how Israel were trusting in the staff that was Egypt, and they were trusting in that staff. Now there's also a sense in which the Lord is trusting us. He's trusting us. Now that's an extraordinary thing. That's a deep thing, that he would take a staff and he would trust it to do his purposes and use us. Now he doesn't need to. We have to understand that. He doesn't need to. He doesn't need us. He can do everything without us. But yet he trusts us. And you might say, well, if he's trusting, what will he do with a crushed staff, with a broken staff? Well, he can't trust that, can he? He's going to discard it. He says, no, I'm still going to work with that staff. I'm still going to work with that crushed staff, that discouraged, that person who's discouraged and feels as things are hopeless and things are full of despair. And he says, I'm going to restore you, and then I'm going to use you. And I'm going to trust you, and you're going to be the one that I'm going to use to extend my kingdom, and you're going to be the one I'm going to use to see great things. You're going to be the one. And so there he takes the staff, he takes the smoking flax, and he does something wonderful to prove his mercy and to prove his great name, and to show the abundance of his kindness, and ultimately to show his glory and to show his power.